On this, the baptism of the Lord Day, we encounter God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, at the river. This morning, if you've noticed in many of the things that have been sung, many of the things that have been said, there's a reference to river, to water. It was not by accident. It happens that way every Sunday. Each thing kind of flows together. There's lots of things that people just take for granted that it just falls into place and it happens. Sometimes it does. It just seems to work out that way some Sundays. But other times it's kind of planned that we make sure that the songs kind of go along with things that are going on. But then it has deeper meanings for sometimes the things that clean us, that purge us, to let go, just like the chaff that is taken out of that wheat and the grain, so that it would be burned and consumed. In the song we just sung about, thy dross to consume and thy to refine the refiner's gold. Does anybody have any idea what dross is? Ah. If you've ever been to, thank you, Mr. Ray, I heard it. It's a purity thing. Whenever you're a refiner's gold, when you're in the, where they burn and they make it boil, the stuff that comes to the top, the waste, is the dross, whatever. And it's thrown away. It's the stuff that is burned up. It's the chaff that you take off, just like the chaff of the words today. So there's things that we need to think about when we read and when we sing, to know what these things mean. And if we don't understand them, to ask somebody, to say, what does that mean? And if we don't know the answer, guess what? We can find it. We can figure it out. So this morning, on this baptism of the Lord Day, as we encounter our Lord at the river, you see, our lectionary passage today breaks neatly into two sections. The first one, of course, is Luke 3, 15 and 17, is an encounter at the river between the seekers for a Savior and John the Baptist. And the second lesson is an encounter at the river with the Holy Trinity, God is Father, God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. And it takes our faithfulness today to embrace both of those encounters. In the first encounter at the river, deep need pours forth in great longing. The Scripture tells us the people were filled with expectation. They are longing for a Messiah, a Savior. The crush of life, the pressure of sin, the confusion and chaos that surround them, they come to the river this day as spiritually parched and thirsty people. People longing for a drink of water for the soul. People needing something and seeking to find it. I want you this morning to think of a time when you were thirsty and how great it was when you finally got something to drink to quench that thirst. I was thinking about that this week, and last night I thought about something else, so I put it down. I think about days of growing up on the farm and working in the fields. How hot it would be and how thirsty you could get suckering and topping tobacco, which was one of those jobs that I disliked the most, I believe, of all. It was one of them nasty jobs. It was a stinky job. It was just annoying. And then later, after we quit doing it, somebody learned how to cut the tops off without you having to do it by yourself. Anyway, I don't know why they couldn't have done that when I was coming along, but anyway. But the thing about it was you had to wait until you made a round before you got a drink of water. And if you grew up where I grew up, those rows were not little short rows down at the edge of the field like you were. When we get through towards the end of the day, you'd say, man, we're into short rows now, thank you. But we were not into short rows. We were into long rows. And when you went down and you had to come back, that was a round. And the water was at one end and one end only. It did not follow you through the field. So that was it. That sometimes that drink of water was the best drink of water that you've ever had. How good that water tasted. How it quenched that thirst for that moment. You see, deep longing and spiritual dehydration leads the people to seek out John at the Jordan River, and they ask whether he might be the Messiah. You see, you and I today are not that different. Our need for a Savior is just as great. Our expectations are perhaps even higher. We live in a world full of broken promises from those who claim to fulfill all the needs of the people if only you vote for a particular person. Our world is consumed with greed and it devours our society. Symbolically, you and I gather at the River of Life and ask if the money, if the possessions, if the power, if the pleasure, and the list could go on and on, is this the Savior that we're looking for? Is this the answer in our world today? You see, the answer we receive is the same answer that John gave those seekers so very long ago. And he tells them that I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. And I am not even worthy to loosen the strap on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, to untie the sandals of another is the work of a slave, of a servant. John is telling us that he is not even good enough to do a slave's work. And with passion, John points beyond himself, away from human solutions and direction. And he directs those people, and he directs you, and he directs me to that divine answer. You see, the baptism emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. Writing after Pentecost, Luke intends for us, the reader, to seek that link to Pentecost. The divine rule of the Messiah draws not by the drums and loud clashing. He didn't just make away with horns blowing and everything. He comes among us not with the great pyrotechnics of a rock band, but guess how he comes? He comes with the inhibition of God's very presence in the Holy Spirit and in the fire. He comes in the uniqueness of a person. He comes in that Holy Trinity. You see, verse 17 of our scripture today must be read in light of verse 16. Jesus wants us to eradicate, to get rid of the chaff of our life, to throw away the waste, our over-reliance on possessions and on power and on pleasure, to get rid of those things that we really don't need. We have too much stuff, and we need to get rid of it. We need to rid ourselves of most of it. We need to clean up and out from time to time. And we do need to do that. I've taken 4 bags of garbage out of my office at the house. 4. Because it kind of just stacks up in piles. I know where everything is, but those piles had needed to be gone through for some time, so I've depiled them a little bit. They're still piles, but they're not as bad as they were. Once in a while, we've got to get rid of stuff. We need to review our stuff. We need to take note of our possessions, and we need to let go of that which binds us. Part 2 today of our scripture lesson provides the answer to the one spoken of and referred in this passage. The encounter at the river is with God in Christ through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We must not miss the emphasis of the Trinity that is embedded in the baptism of Jesus. You see, Jesus, Lord and Savior, presents Himself at the river in solidarity with you and with me. The ancient Christian writers had a saying, He became like us that we might be like Him. He became like us that we might be like Him. In baptism, the one human being who is also fully divine stands where we stand in submission to God. You see, in baptism, the blessing is poured out of Him. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased, He tells us in verse 22. You see, in baptism we encounter God as Father, God as Son, and God as Holy Spirit. Recall, if you will, today I think about an old, faded children's sermon where the pastor calls the kids into the front of the church and excitedly proclaims that he has something new to share with them. Oh, smiling, cheery faces come running down to greet the pastor. What, he asks, is small and furry, has a big tail that often goes straight up and runs around the yard gathering nuts. One very attentive little boy raises his hand. He goes, "Yes, Jimmy," says the pastor. "Well," Jimmy hesitantly begins, "I know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds a whole lot like a squirrel." You see, Jimmy is right. The answer is Jesus, but you and I have made it sound a lot like a squirrel in the world that we live in. No one joins a church to keep the institution going. People come to church to meet God. They want to walk with Christ. They hunger to experience life in the Spirit. They long to live a life of great purpose and service to the Lord's kingdom building work that will transform this battered and broken world. Unfortunately, you and I are often running around the yard picking up the nuts. We as the people of God proclaim this truth with an unapologetic call to high Christology, that is, the things of Christ. The encounter at the river is an encounter with God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. That close relationship between Jesus and God is imprinted in the opening line. The heavens open while Jesus is praying. The heavens open while Jesus is praying. The Holy Spirit descends as the heavens open. It is significant here that we remember that the Holy Spirit descends in bodily form. It is as if Luke wishes to insist that this is no more mere casual action, but rather a deeply intertwined relationship. It is a relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that they all became one, three in one, but uniquely three individuals, but yet one Godhead. The voice speaks of an all-embracing connection, all of them. "You are my son," he says, "the beloved. With you I am well pleased." This blessing is ascending. Jesus is about God's mission to the world. Jesus is not simply a learned teacher or a wonderful prophet. In this encounter at the river, God is present in each aspect of the Holy Trinity. He is Father, Creator. He is the Son, the Savior, and Lord. He is the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power. You see, the encounter at the river posed the decisive question that must be answered again and again. Who is our Savior and Lord? Who is my Savior and Lord? Who is your Savior and Lord? To whom do you and I give our greatest allegiance and offer our deepest obedience? Who do we serve? You see, the Scripture is clear. All of us have encounters at the river of life. In that encounter, to whom do we turn and whom do we follow? A Christian theologian and philosopher, Dallas Willard, is often asked by his students why he is a follower of Jesus Christ. And Dr. Willard answers, "Can you think of anyone better to follow? Can you think of anyone any better to follow?" And I ask you today, who will you follow? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you this day for who you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for being at the river of life with us throughout our life, through all the circumstances, through all the situations, through all the things that come our way, that you are there. There's so many things, Lord, in our life that if you were not a part of it, surely we could not be. We wouldn't be able to stand amongst the pressure and the pain and the hurt and the heartache. But Lord, as we come to that river of life each and every day, when we awake to the beauty of each morning, when we are faced with the dawn, and we ask ourselves, whom this day shall we serve? What are we going to do? Are we going to serve society? Are we going to serve you? And you know, we can serve you each and every day and work in this world and be an example. Or we can serve society and the world never knows that we darken the door of a church or even knows that you live in our heart. So Lord, if you live in our hearts, truly let us be that one each and every day that shines out and breaks forth. So be with us now. convict our heart and our mind, and allow us, Lord, to leave this place this day with the joy of knowing you, with the joy of sharing you, with the joy of going forth. Be with us now. For it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. Hymn number 724, On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand. Would you stand if you're able to stand and sing? Hymn number 724.